الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, continue reading what the author he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, with regards to the tarbiyah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما. And he says, and Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما أن تربية رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. He mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما that the تربية of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is that he would say لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. And then the author he mentioned قال وكان عبد الله بن عمر يزيد فيها لبيك لبيك والسعديك والخير بيديك والرغباء إليك والعمل. And also that the عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما he used to add to that, and he add to the tarbiyah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم لبيك لبيك والسعديك والخير بيديك والرغباء إليك والعمل والعمل. So the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that the talbiyah, this is like the shi'ar of al-hajj, and it is the statement here of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم that he will say لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he will not add to this, although he would be in the company of some of his companions رضي الله عنهم, and some of them would add any some additional wordings in the praises of Allah عزّ وجل, like that which is mentioned here by Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, and it's been mentioned likewise that Ibn Umar he heard this from his father Umar رضي الله عنهما. So to add to it, inshallah, is allowed. And to add the praises of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the glorification of Allah and the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to suffice with that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he mentioned is best and more preferred. And Allah knows best. And the talbiyah, this means to respond. Labba amrahu, yani. استجاب له أو أجابه, to respond. So لبيك, it means إجابة بعد إجابة. And لبيك, this is تثنية, يعني it's مثنى, it's dual. So what is intended here is to emphasize إجابة بعد إجابة, إجابة بعد إجابة, responding after responding, I'm responding after responding. And this is a response to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mankind to come to the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Mecca and to make the pilgrimage and to perform those sacred rites. So this is something that Allah has called mankind and made an obligation upon them. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ عَلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. So the one who comes in performance of these sacred rites, he's responding to that call. He's responding to that call, and it was the call likewise that Allah Azza wa Jal, he had ordered Ibrahim to pronounce after building the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, he mentioned in his book, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالٍ وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيكٍ, that you must proclaim and announce and call the people to Hajj, and they will come to you on foot, and likewise on every lean riding animal, and they will come from every distance and far land. They will come from every distance and far land. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed that would occur, and we see that it has occurred just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed and mentioned. In the time of Ibrahim, it was a barren land, alayhi salatu wasalam, it was a barren land and there was no one there. And it's been mentioned that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he asked, how would the people hear and respond? And this is something that was in the hands of Allah azza wa jal, and that he had authority and command over. And now we see that this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed and fulfilled. And the people, they are coming to make the pilgrimage to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, responding to that call from far and wide, from every close and near and far and distant land. And far and distant land. So the meaning of at-talbiyah in general is to respond. And this is something that is specific from the main aims and goals and the intent of the legislation of the pilgrimage to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is to cultivate in the soul the ability to respond to Allah, to cultivate and to nourish and to strengthen the heart and the soul, and likewise a person's mind, until he has the ability with sincere faith to respond to the call of Allah, to respond to the call of Allah Azza wa Jalla and to His Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. O you who believe, respond to Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever they call you to that which will give you life. So this is the means to have true life, life of happiness and joy and contentment and peace, peace of mind and peace in the soul and ease of heart, and this life and the hereafter, and safety and security from all trials and troubles and stress that will mislead a person and deter him from his main goal, and that is to reach the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. The way to find this happiness and this good life is by responding to Allah. It's by responding to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by singling Him out alone with all actions of worship. And devotion, and making them purity for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. بإخلاص الدين له سبحانه وتعالى. And this will not be complete except by likewise responding to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in obedience as well, in compliance. بِالِتِّبَاعِ by following him and taking him as a role model sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these meanings here likewise are contained in at-talbiyah. The response to Allah Azza wa Jal, to single Him out alone with all actions of worship, yani inwardly and outwardly. And the at-talbiyah, it means at-ijabah, just as has preceded, but likewise it has the meaning of at-istislam. And likewise it has the meaning of at-istislam wal-inqiyad li-amri Allahi Azza wa Jal. At-ijabah wal-istislam lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala wal-inqiyadu lahu bit-ta'ah. At-istislamu lahu بالتوحيد والانقياد له بالطاعة. This is from the meaning of the talbiyah, that one, he will respond to Allah, that he will submit and he will surrender himself in obedience to Allah, and that he will single out Allah alone for all actions of worship. All of this is intended and clarified in this talbiyah. And for the one who ponders and reflects over this affair, he will find that the talbiyah is all tawheed. And from the beginning to the end, it's all about a tawheed. And for this reason, Jabir radiallahu anhu, whenever he mentioned the description of the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after making his ihram, he said, ثُمَّ أَهَلَّ فَأَهَلَّ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made the ihlal with at-tawheed, referring to the talbiyah. And this likewise is clarifying the time that the talbiyah begins. And this is whenever the person, he makes al-ihlal. Al-ihlal, what is intended by that? Al-ihram. Whenever the person, he enters into the state of ihram and he makes his intention, and he will make his intention in his heart to enter into the state of al-ihram for hajj or for umrah. And the likes, at this time, after making this intention, likewise he will state that on his tongue as a sunnah to further beautify and perfect the entrance into this state. After that as well, he will begin with the talbiyah. After that again as well, he will begin with the talbiyah. So the one who's making hajj, or the one who's making umrah, the time that the talbiyah begins is right after he enters into the state of al-ihram. He will, for example, if he's making hajj, he will say, Allahumma labbaik Allahumma hajja. And then he will begin with the talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. And likewise, from the meaning of the word al-ihlal, likewise, raf'u sawt, to raise the voice. So as well, it's legislated for the males, the young and the old of them, to raise their voice with the talbiyah, that they will say it loudly, that it will be heard from them. It will be heard from them making the talbiyah out loud. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. They repeat it over and over out loud, and this is something that will be heard from them, and it begins at this time. And from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to al-ihlal with talbiyah is that he made his ihram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Dhul Hulayfa, as we have seen in the previous classes. But it's been mentioned likewise that he made preparations in al-Madinah. He made his preparations in al-Madinah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cleansing himself and making the ghusl and the likes like this and these affairs. And then whenever he reached Dhul Hulayfa, he prayed the dhuhr prayer. sallallahu alayhi wasallam two raka'ah, because at this time Dhul Hulayfa was outside of the borders of Al-Madina. So therefore, after leaving Medina, he's considered a traveler, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he prayed al-dhuhr two raka'ah. And then after this, and he's already prepared, already in the clothing of ihram, already made the preparation, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for entering into the state, after praying the two raka'ah of al-dhuhr, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he got on his riding animal, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and at this time he made the ihlal. At this time he made the ihlal. So this is the time, according to the sunnah, the best time after praying an obligatory prayer, or any other prayer likewise is allowed, but preferably an obligatory prayer if possible. And then after that, after mounting the riding animal, at this time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was heard for the first time making the ihram and the talbiyah. Making the ihram and the talbiyah. And likewise, after some time, any briefly, whenever leaving the miqat, there's a place called Al-Bayda. Al-Bayda is a small hill, any in the same area, which is just away from the masjid, or away from the miqat of the Hulayfa. He was heard again mentioning it there. He was heard again mentioning it there, meaning that he began, whenever he first entered into his ihram, whenever he mounted his riding animal, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then again, he began repeating it again as he's moving on through the journey, whenever he was standing on Al-Bayda, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the first time that one will make the intention, after that he will make the talbiyah. The first time the person makes the intention, at the beginning, whenever the person enters into the state of ihram, at this time will be the first time that he makes the talbiyah. As for the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is to do that after mounting the riding animal from the miqat. So the people of Nahr, as they mentioned, likewise, the one who stopped in the miqat and he prayed an obligatory prayer, this is best for him. Or if he prayed a non-obligatory prayer, likewise, this is allowed for him. In any case, whenever he makes the ihram, this will be the time for him to make the ihram, is any time, it's allowed. But according to the sunnah, will be after getting on his vehicle. After getting into his vehicle and preparing to ride away, at this time he will make the ihram. At this time he will say, Labbaik Allahumma Umrah. For example, if he's making Umrah, Labbaik Allahumma Umrah, La ri'a fiha, La ri'a fiha, wa la sum'ah. And then he will begin with the talbiyah out loud. Likewise, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, in this manner. And then he will continue with the talbiyah. He will continue with the talbiyah all the way until he begins the tawaf for the Umrah. He'll begin and continue with the talbiyah all the way until he makes, or he begins making the tawaf for the Umrah. This is with regards to the one who's making Umrah. As for the one who's making Hajj, then he will begin in the same manner, in the same way, the talbiyah. After he enters into the ihram, he will begin with the talbiyah, and meaning if he was in the miqat of Dhul Hulayfa, then whenever he's ready to leave and he gets inside of his vehicle and he's prepared to leave, now he will make the intention, لبيك اللهم حجة لا رياء فيها ولا سمعة. And then he will begin with the talbiyah, لبيك اللهم لبيك, لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك, like this. And then this will continue for him in his rites of al-hajj until he stones the jamarah al-aqabah on the day of al-nahr. After that, the talbiyah will stop. After that, the talbiyah will stop, and it's legislated for the hajj at this time, the pilgrim, after that, to continue making takbir and tahreel. But as for the talbiyah, then it will stop. So the talbiyah, it has a time, and the beginning for the time is the same with regards to the hajj and the umrah, and that it begins immediately after making the intention and entering into the state of ihram. That it begins immediately after making the intention and entering into the state of al-ihram, whether it's al-ihram for umrah or al-ihram for al-hajj. As for the time that the talbiyah ends, then it's different with regards to the hajj and the umrah. So the talbiyah will end for the one who's making Umrah whenever he begins the tawaf of Umrah, whenever he reaches Mecca and he begins the tawaf. He will stop at this time. And whenever he reaches the house of Allah and he's ready to take into the tawaf for his Umrah, at this time he will stop making the talbiyah. He will stop making the talbiyah. As for the one who is making the rites of al-hajj, then he will continue with the talbiyah all through his rites, all the way till he stones Jamarat al-Aqaba on the day of al-Nahr. And this is what has been clarified in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the talbiyah, in reality, it's about responding and submitting and surrendering and complying to the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla. All of these meanings are included here. The talbiyah, whenever a person he says labbaik Allahumma, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, oh Allah, I'm responding to your call. Oh Allah, I am responding, I believe in you, I believe in your promise, I believe in your prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I believe in your deen and your legislation, I believe in the halal and the haram and the limits that you have set, I believe in the accountability and that I'll stand before you. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I believe in the Jannah and I believe in the Nar. Yani I'm responding to your call because of sincere faith, and I'm singling you out alone, and I'm responding to you alone, and I am worshipping you alone. So this labbaik here, it has the meaning of a tawheed. It has the meaning of a tawheed. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. To sing Allah alone, I'm responding to you. Rather over and over. Responding after responding. This is a response after response. Meaning to emphasize the affair. That I'm responding to you, O Allah. I'm responding to your call, and I have come to your house seeking your reward and seeking your pleasure and hoping that you would accept from me and that you will shroud me with your mercy. So this is a great talbiyah. This is a great talbiyah. And the people of knowledge, they have mentioned many benefits with regards to this. From them is when the person, he will say that. When would he begin the talbiyah? Whenever he enters into the ihram. So the sunnah for entering into the ihram is from the miqat. It's from the miqat. Where are the muwaqit at? They're all in. They're around Mecca. Yani around Mecca, the outside of Mecca. They're in the lands of what is known today as al-Mamlaka al-Arabiya al-Saudiya and the Arabian Peninsula, and they're in the Arabian Peninsula. What would one go through in order to get to the miqat? What would a person have to do in order to get to the miqat? Is it easy to get there?
Wherever you come from, you start at the miqat of the country or the boy where you come from.
For example, if we're coming from here, how are you going to get to the miqat? What are you going to have to do?
I'm going to tell you when you're out of
the
huh?
On air.
Okay, what does that require? You're going to have to buy a ticket. You're going to have to make a preparation.
Oh.
You're going to have to spend money. You have to go through hardship. You're going to have to travel over a whole ocean. You're going to have to go overseas. You know what that means to go overseas? We say that overseas. You're going to have to travel over the vast ocean. From one land, you're going to leave the land and there's going to be nothing but water under you for hours. And then you're going to come to another land. And then you still didn't reach the land that is your destination. Then you're going to continue. The point is that a person, he will go through difficulty and hardship in order to get to that miqat. He's going to go through much difficulty and hardship financially and physically. He's going to leave his family behind. He's going to leave his job and his occupation behind. He's going to leave his land and his loved ones behind. He's going to, before that, many people, they spend a lifetime saving enough money to get there. Some people, they will literally spend a lifetime saving up the money to get to the miqat, to go make hajj. So now that a person, he went through this great effort, and then whenever he gets there, what is he saying? Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. I'm responding to your call, O Allah. Here I am. I have come from my home. I have left my land. I have left my family. I have left my people. I have left my occupation. I have left my life behind me. Here I am responding to you, O Allah. Responding to you, O Allah, and to your call. So this is the meaning of a tawheed. So this requires here, and what the statement means is that a person, he will single out all actions of worship for Allah alone. He's responding to the call of Allah. He's hoping for the reward of Allah. He desires the promise of Allah. He has a great hopes in his heart for the meeting of Allah. For the meeting of Allah. He's hoping for Jannah. He's hoping that his efforts will be accepted. So the point is now that the one who will make all of this effort, and then he will come here, and then he will make this statement, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. I'm responding to your call, O Allah, I'm responding. I'm responding to your call, O Allah, I'm responding. I'm responding to you, hoping for your reward. And then in those rites, one of them he will say, Madad ya fulan. Madad ya fulan. He will call him Badawi. Tijani, Jailani, or we say Al-Hassan, Al-Hussein, Ali, or even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where is Labbaik? Where is Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik? Where is the response to Allah Azza wa Jalla? This man, he's saying that with time, he's saying it with his tongue, but then in reality, he's negating it with his tongue and with his actions and with his heart, calling on others besides Allah. And this is what many of the believers they're tried with today. Even worse than that, whenever a person he's in his salat, what does he say? What is the tawheed in the salah? From the greatest aspects of it, tawheed in the Fatiha. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. It's said 17 times over and over daily, obligatory upon every saint and Muslim of the age. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. This is similar like the talbiyah. لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَبَّيْكَ. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek aid and help and assistance. You alone do we rely upon, and we put our trust in. So sometimes it's been mentioned that individuals, they'll be standing and they're reciting in the Fatiha or behind the Imam. The Imam will recite the Fatiha in that. He will say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And he will say, Ameen, O Allah, accept from me. And then he will go into sujood and he'll call on Jailani, or he'll call on Bedawi, or he'll call on so-and-so, Madid ya fulan, provide for me, sustain me, help me. No one can provide for me, no one can help me but you. So whenever he's standing, he's saying, Iyyaka na'budu, but then whenever he goes into the ground, he's calling on somebody else and hoping in them and desiring them and fearing them and trusting them and relying upon them. Wa'iyadu billah, this is all contrary and in contradiction and confliction entirely with the meaning of these words. And that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. Likewise, the people of Nar, as I mentioned about the talbiyah, this person, he made all of this effort, he spent all of this wealth, and he came all the way to these lands, and he comes to the Mikad, and now he enters into that state, and he says, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. And I'm responding to your call, I'm responding, O Allah. I'm responding to your call, I'm responding, O Allah, to perform the sacred rites of Hajj. But he himself, on a daily basis, he's called to respond to the call of Allah Azza wa Jal. He's called and ordered to respond to the call of Allah Azza wa Jal. 5 times a day he doesn't respond. In the morning time he's called, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah, he doesn't respond. Where's the talbiyah now? Where's the responding to Allah Azza wa Jal now? And then as the day opens and it proceeds into the dhuhr time, he's called again, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah, he's called again and he doesn't respond. And then in the end of the day, likewise, at the Asr time, he's called again. Come to the prayer, come to success, but he doesn't respond. And then likewise, at the sunset time, and then the night time as well. These are all calls that we are obligated to respond to daily. And this response here takes precedence and is greater and more obligatory even than responding to the call of Hajj. And the pillars of Islam, they were all great. But the Salat is the greatest after the Tawheed. After the Shahadatain, the greatest pillar from the pillars of Islam that must be established is the 5 daily prayers. And this is the connection and the relationship of a person and his Lord. Between a person, between a Muslim, between a believer and his Lord. The strong relationship and bond that one maintains with his Lord is by maintaining the prayer. وَحَافِذُوا عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّلَاةُ الْوُسْطَى وَكُمُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. To maintain and preserve the prayer is of utmost importance. Rather, many of the people of knowledge have mentioned that the one who abandoned the prayer, or even some of them mentioned he leaves one prayer without right and without a legislative excuse, and he would have disbelieved what he had believed. As for the one who left Hajj, then, and if he's not able to, it's not required. If he's not able to, it's not required. And even if he left it out of stinginess or out of fear and the or of cowardice and the likes like this, he would still not have disbelieved with that. So the issue is very serious. So no doubt to respond to the call of Allah to make Hajj, but this is once in a lifetime. That's an obligation. As for the prayer, it's an obligation 5 times a day, so long as one is alive. So long as one is alive, so long as he's breathing, even if he's not able to move, so long as he has his sanity, it's an obligation for him to pray 5 times a day at the proper time. At the proper time. Even if he's paralyzed, may Allah protect us and our families and give us strong health and faith and the believers. But even if a person was in this situation where he cannot move, but he has his sanity, he must pray. He must pray. He will establish the prayer to the best of his ability in his heart and in his mind. And he will make movements with his head or with his eyes according to his ability. According to his ability. The point is that the obligation of prayer does not fall off. It does not fall off until a person, he lost his mind, or he lost his sanity, or he loses his life, or he loses his life. As for if he lost the physical ability, it remains. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Salli qa'iman fa illam tastati' fa qa'idan. Fa illam tastati' fa 'ala janb." Pray while you're standing. It's an obligation. If you're not able to, then while you're sitting. And if you're not able to sit, then while you're laying on your side. Then while you're laying on your side, even in times of war or in times of fear from an enemy or from a ferocious animal and the likes like this, the prayer is still obligatory to be performed in the proper time. Although the manner to perform it will be lightened, the obligation remains. And that's the point. That's the point. So to respond to the call of Allah Azza wa Jal, no doubt with regards to Hajj, this is very important. And from the greatest obligations, from the pillars of Islam. But before that, responding to the call of Allah Azza wa Jal daily with regards to establishing the prayer. This takes precedence. This takes precedence. And the whole wisdom behind the legislation of the Hajj is to cultivate this ability. That a person, he will be able, whenever he returns, to establish those prayers in the best manner, even better than he was before. Even better than he was before. So this is something likewise to keep in mind. The talbiyah, it reminds us of all of this. The talbiyah, the benefits that are found here, will remind us of all of these affairs. The importance of responding to Allah, responding to Him with sincere faith and trust and reliance, and responding to Him with belief and with compliance and surrender and submission and obedience. And surrender and submission and obedience in public and in private. This is what the talbiyah means. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك. I respond to you, O Allah. I respond to you, O Allah, with no partners whatsoever. Responding to Allah and making the worship sincerely for Him alone with no partners. So here is a negation here. لا شريك لك. This is negation. No partners with you whatsoever. Responding to the command of Allah in obedience to Allah, hoping for the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal alone. Alone. Not anything from the worldly affair, not anything from the praise of the people, not anything from an ulterior motive, rather only hoping and seeking the reward and the pleasure of Allah. La sharika lak. La sharika lak. So the people of Allah, as they mentioned here, this portion of the talbiyah is in reality the clarification of a tawheed al-amali. This is the application of a tawheed. That a person in his heart, he will desire and he will hope and he will work only for the reward from Allah. That in his heart he would desire and he will hope, and in his life he will work towards the pleasure of Allah and the reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is the meaning of the statement La ilaha illallah. The meaning of the statement La ilaha illallah. This is the application of it, tawheed. The implementation of it, tawheed. Putting the tawheed into practice and living by it. And living by it and abiding by it. Like Allah has mentioned in His book, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me alone. إِلَّا لِيُوَحِدُونَ. To single me out alone for all actions of worship and obedience. That Allah, He would try the people with commandments and prohibitions, and He would test them. And He would test them. And those who pass the test by complying to Allah and obeying Him and abiding by His law and legislation, hoping for His reward alone, then they have the promise of paradise. And those who violate that, then they have the threat of the hellfire. لِيَجَزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا لِيَجَزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَيَجَزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. This is all found here. The people of knowledge have derived so many great benefits from this. After this, the talbiyah continues in the clarification of التوحيد العلمي. التوحيد العلمي. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he will say, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. That indeed all praise and thanks is for you alone. And all bounties and blessings and favors and all goodness is from you alone. And the dominion and the authority and the command is yours alone. No partners whatsoever. No partners whatsoever. So this is the clarification of a tawheed al-ilmi, the knowledge-based tawheed. And this is likewise the barahin, wa adillat al-tawheed, the proofs and the evidences of a tawheed. Why would a person say, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik? Why would he say that? Why would he respond to Allah Azza wa Jalla and believe in Him alone and put all of his faith and trust and reliance in Allah alone and surrender and submit to Allah alone in obedience and no one else? Why? إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. Because all praise and thanks is for you alone, Allah. You are the one alone who has the blessings, who has the ability to provide blessings and favors. all of the favors and the blessings are from you alone, O Allah, and the dominion and authority in the kingdom is in your hands. Is in your hands. So this is the proof and the evidence of it, Tawheed. That all praise and thanks is for Allah Azza wa Jal. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. Alhamd is the praise, is to praise Allah Azza wa Jal. To praise Him for His beautiful names and attributes. Meaning that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He's worthy of all praise. This is because He needs nothing. That He's powerful and strong, and He's alive and never dies, and He is the provider, and no one provides for Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the creator and the sustainer of the entire creation. He's always alive. He has no beginning and no ending. He's the first and there's nothing before Him. He's the last and there's nothing after Him. And nothing happens in His kingdom except with His permission. All of His attributes are perfect. He knows everything. Nothing is hidden from Him. Nothing is hidden from Him. And all of His actions is based upon His supreme wisdom. And based upon His ultimate knowledge, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, He deserves all praise. All praise for His attributes of perfection. He has no deficiency whatsoever, not in His life, not in His knowledge, not in His power. He has the ability to do all things. No one can escape Him, and no one can hide from Him, and no one can oppose Him in His command and His decree. Whatever He decrees, it will occur, and whatever He does not allow, it will not happen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, He's praised for His favors and His blessings. All of the favors that we have and all of the blessings that we have in our life from the time that we're brought into existence until the time that we die. All of the good that we have in the worldly life and likewise in the spiritual life and in the religion and the deen and knowledge, all of that is from Allah. All of that is from Allah. All of the blessings and favors, they're from Allah. Even if somebody, He gives you something, then that was Allah that created that person and provided that person and directed that person to you and not to another person. So therefore, all praise and thanks is for Allah Azza wa Jal. So these are the evidences and the proofs of that Tawheed. And this is the evidences, the proofs why one, he will sing Allah alone and nobody else for worship. And then likewise, on top of that, wal mulk. Wal, the whole dominion and authority and command is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. Wal mulk. That verily all praise and thanks is for you alone, and all favors and bounties and blessings are from you alone, and the dominion is yours. And the dominion, meaning the authority in the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, it belongs to Allah. That He has control, He has authority, He has command. The sun comes up by His permission and with His authority and by His power, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and according to His will and decree. And it goes down likewise in the same manner. And our lives are sustained by Him, Tabaraka wa ta'ala. And no one can move or have any good or be safe from any harm except by His permission. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of this is included here at Tawheed. For this reason, فَهَلَ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ. He made the ihlal بِالتَّوْحِيدِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the one who's making the ihram and he's entering into these sacred rites, he will make this statement. He will make this talbiyah. But he will not be from those ignorant ones. Or he will not be from those heedless ones who are saying it with their tongues and they do not know what it means. Or saying with a tongue, they're saying it with their tongues, but they're not reflecting upon what it means. Some people, they say it with their tongue and they have no clue what it means. And this is why they oppose it outwardly. Others, they say it with their tongue and they know what it means, but they're heedless and forgetful and they do not reflect upon it. So therefore, the benefit from that is few and little. It's few and little. And the one who is successful, he's the one who would learn what it means and believe in that, and he will say it and mean it. He will say it and mean it. Labbaik, I came, I left my home, I left my family, I left my job, I left my wealth, I left my property. I'm in a land that's foreign to me. I'm far away from home. And I didn't come for any other reason except for you, Allah. Except for you, Allah. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. It's a great meaning. Wallah, an amazing meaning. A great meaning. A great meaning of a tawheed. And sincere and pure monotheism. And loving and worshipping and desiring the reward from Allah alone. Loving and worshipping Allah alone and desiring and hoping for the reward of Allah alone. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. La sharika lak. So the issue here of the negation of a partner from Allah Azza wa Jal is mentioned on both portions. There's no partner with Allah Azza wa Jal in His worship. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. There's no partner with Allah Azza wa Jal in His worship. And likewise, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. And there's likewise no partner with Allah Azza wa Jal in the fact that all praise and thanks is for Him. He alone has the attributes of perfection. He alone is alive and never dies. Everything else that has life is either alive and is going to die, or was alive and already died, or something that's in this existence and does not have life in the first place. And the one who deserves all faith and trust and reliance is the one who is alive and never dies. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. To put your faith and trust upon the one who's alive and never dies. Upon the one who's alive and never dies. So no partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla in this. And likewise, all favors and bounties and blessings is from Allah alone. He has no partners in that likewise. He has no partners in that likewise. لا شريك لك. لا إن الحمد والنعمة لك. والملك لا شريك لك. وما بكم من نعمة فمن الله. وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها. All of the favors and blessings and bounties, all of the goodness that we have in this life is from Allah alone. No partners in that. He is the provider. He is the sustainer. He's the one who's given everything his shape and his form. And all good that we have, it comes from him. And there's no partners with him in that. And there's no partners with him in that. And the dominion and authority and the command is in his hands. And there's no partner with him in that. Likewise, so therefore there should be no partners with him in worship. No partners with him in worship. So in these two statements here, which is comprising of this talbiyah, there's the affirmation of al-tawheed al-ilmi, and to emphasize that with no partners whatsoever, and the affirmation of al-tawheed al-amali, and likewise to emphasize that with no partners whatsoever. With no partners whatsoever. And this is the reality of al-tawheed. This is the reality of al-tawheed, the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. Haqqullahi ala ibadihi. Haqqullahi ala ibadihi. The right of Allah upon His slaves. May Allah help us to fulfill that right, to live upon that and to die upon that. So after this, the author, he says, قَالَ وَكَانَ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ بِنْ عُمَرَ يَزِيدُ وَكَانَ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ بِنْ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا يَزِيدُ فِيهَا لَبَّيْكَ لَبَّيْكَ وَسَعْدَيْكَ وَالْخَيْرُ بِيَدَيْكَ وَالرَّقْبَاءُ إِلَيْكَ وَالْعَمَلُ. That Ibn Umar, he used to add to that, and he would say the talbiyah like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did, and at times he would add to that, saying it again, لَبَّيْكَ لَبَّيْكَ وَسَعْدَيْكَ وَسَعْدَيْكَ. It has a similar meaning. It has a similar meaning. وَالْخَيْرُ بِيَدَيْكَ. And all good is in your hands. وَالْرَغْبَاءُ إِلَيْكَ. وَالْرَغْبَاءُ إِلَيْكَ وَالْعَمَلُ. وَالْرَغْبَاءُ يعني الرغباء is the desire and the intention of a person. He said that the meaning that all desire and hope is in you. وَالْعَمَلُ. And likewise the actions and deeds are for you alone. An indication that the actions, they must be purified and made sincerely for Allah alone, and likewise the intentions. And likewise the intentions. All of this is likewise included here in this extra portion that is mentioned. That is mentioned. So to mention this is all allowed. To mention this is all allowed. But to suffice with that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam sufficed with, then this is best, and Allah knows best. Then this is best, and Allah knows best. With regards to the women, likewise, it's legislated for them as well to say it, but they will not say it out loud. They will not say it out loud. If they're men, if they're strange men in their company, any men who are not from their maharim, any around them and the likes like this, they will not raise their voice with it. Rather, they will say it quietly to themselves, but they will say it as well. In the same manner, in the same time, and the likes like this, only they will not raise their voice with it. As for the men, then they will raise their voice with it. They will raise their voice with it whenever they're in their vehicle, whenever they're walking, whenever they're moving from right to right. And some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this talbiyah, with regards to the rites of the nusuk, of the hajj and the umrah, is similar like the takbir, with regards to the rites of the salah. That the takbira is the shi'ar. Yani that the person who's making the salah, he performs whenever he's moving from one rite to the next. Whenever he's moving from one pillar to the next, he will move by stating Allahu Akbar. And he will begin like this, like Allahu Akbar. And then he will fulfill one of the pillars, and then he will say it again, Allahu Akbar, and move to the next pillar. And then he will say that Allahu Akbar and move to the next pillar. So similarly like this, the Hajj, whenever they're making those rites, they're making the talbiyah in a similar manner as they're moving from right to right. And they're moving from pillar to pillar and from worship to worship. This is their shi'ar, their slogan that they are stating out loud. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka. والملك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. So even if a person, he's not able to make Hajj or Umrah and to partake with those pilgrims and making these rites and making this talbiyah is something that a believer, he will live by. He will live in this manner. This is his life, that he lives the life of responding to Allah. A believer who is sincere and truthful, his whole life is in response to Allah. And this is what we're created for. We're created to respond to Allah, to submit to Allah, to surrender to Allah, to obey Allah Azza wa Jal in public and in private. And if we would like to have peace and security, if we would like to have happiness and ease, and to be able to deal with the challenges of life, to face the ups and downs of life, the prosperity and the good, and likewise the adversity and the hardship, to be able to face that with courage and with moderation and with peace of mind and with ease, then one, he must have faith. And faith is in the heart and likewise in the actions. And whenever the faith is in the heart, the actions are upright. And they come together. They come together and they're never separated. So according to the amount of faith in the heart will determine the beauty of the actions and the goodness of the actions. And if the faith in the heart is strong and deeply rooted, then the actions, they will be beautiful and plentiful. And they will be abundant and very well and good and beneficial. And if the faith in the heart is deficient or weak, then likewise the actions as well will weaken and be deficient accordingly. So the ability to respond to Allah goes back to having faith, having sincere faith. Whenever the faith is strong, a person, he will respond to Allah. He'll respond to the call of Allah easy. He will wake up out of bed, sometimes even before the Adhan of Fajr. Even before the Adhan of Fajr will come, he's ready to respond. He's ready to respond before the Adhan of Fajr. Before the Adhan of Fajr, he's already responding and waking up out of his bed and throwing away his covers and leaving that comfort and ready to respond to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is whenever the faith becomes strong. And whenever the faith becomes a bit weaker, maybe he will only respond whenever the Adhan comes. And if he's not careful and becomes weaker and weaker, maybe he'll respond not until after the Adhan comes, maybe after the Iqamah comes. And then if it's weaker and weaker, he will not respond until after the Salah comes. And the time goes out, after the sun rises. And if he's not careful, then he will stop responding. And he will respond at this time to his desires and his whims. And he will follow his lusts. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ So a person, he will either respond to Allah or he'll respond to his desires. He'll respond to Allah in compliance and obedience and following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or else he will be responding to his desires. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ So again, to remember these affairs, and especially for those who are going to make these rites, and in this year specifically, that this is why they're going. They're going in response to the call of Allah. Allah has called mankind and made it an obligation for them to make Hajj and the pilgrimage to His house. So therefore they'll perform that. Even if it's not obligatory, they've still been called. It's still a call that they're responding to. They're coming there to respond to this call. Even if it's not an obligation now, they fulfilled that pillar. Now they're fulfilling a non-obligatory rite. This is likewise great and an amazing affair and a great opportunity and benefit, and for the person who responds properly, truthfully, and sincerely. After this, the author, he says, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يحل لامرأة تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر أن تسافر مسيرة يوم وليلة إلا ومعها حرمة إلا ومعها حرمة وفي لفظ للبخاري تسافر مسيرة يوم إلا مع ذي محرم إلا مع ذي محرم. The author, he's continuing, although this narration is not in accordance to the chapter title which we had discussed previously, but the author, he continues mentioning the narrations in accordance to the actions of the rites of one entering into the state of al-ihram, and he beginning with the miqat and that which would occur there from entering into the state of ihram, and likewise after that which one he will wear and that which is allowed for him to wear any whenever he's entering into this state, and then after that what one will say and the words and the actions of worship that one he will mention after entering into the state of ihram, the talbiyah, and then likewise with regards to this. And in many times, those who are performing these rites, they would have to travel. They would have to travel. Many, many times, the people who are performing these rites, they would have to travel. So with regards to that, the issue of the woman traveling now is mentioned as well. And we have discussed this issue in a bit of detail in our previous classes. But the author is mentioning here to clarify this affair. From the conditions for it to be obligatory for the woman to make hajj, for it to be obligatory for the woman to make hajj is that she has along with her a mahram. That she has along with her a mahram. So the hadith here is of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يحل لامرأة تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر أن تسافر مسيرة يوم وليلة إلا ومعها حرمة. that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, it's not allowed for a woman who believes in Allah and the last day to travel the distance of one day and one night, except that she has along with her a hurma. And in one wording by Al-Bukhari, the author, he says, تُسَافِرَ مَسِيرَةَ يَوْمٍ إِلَّا مَعَ ذِي مَحْرَمٍ, that she will not travel the distance of one day except she has along with her a mahram. That's the meaning of the hurma. We have seen in our previous classes that the mahram is the zawj, is the husband, or man tahrumu alayhi ala ta'bid bi nasabin aw bi sabab mubah, bi nasabin aw bi sabab mubah. The one who is her mahram is her husband, or the one who is impermissible for her to marry any forever. The one whom it's not ever allowed for her to marry, ever, because of lineage or because of an allowed and permissible reason, and that allowed and permissible reason was al-musahara, which is the ties of marriage, and likewise the rada'a, which is the breastfeeding. So this these details, they have preceded, but to emphasize here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, it's not allowed for the woman. For which woman? تُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, the one who believes in Allah and the last day. Believing in Allah, this is the fundamental foundation. This is the principle of all principles, to believe in Allah. And likewise, along with that belief is believing in the meeting of Allah, which is the time for the accountability in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is a reminder. The woman who believes in Allah and believes in the accountability and standing before Allah, it's not allowed for her to travel. It's not allowed for her to travel. Here it's very general, any traveling. It's not allowed for her to travel at all. The distance of a day and a night. The distance of a day and a night. In the other narration, the distance of one day. And it's not allowed for her to travel whatsoever. Whatever is considered traveling, unless she has along with her a mahram, unless she has along with her a mahram. So this is in general, it's not allowed to travel, not for Hajj or not for anything else. Not for Hajj and not for anything else. And we have seen previously likewise the narration that was even more specific with Hajj, that in one wording of this narration that a man, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned this, and then he said that indeed, O Messenger of Allah, I have enrolled in the particular battle and I'm prepared to go out for jihad. And my woman and my wife, she has left out for Hajj. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, go make Hajj with your wife. Meaning that after he heard this, that a woman is not allowed for her to travel except with a mahram, now he mentioned this. Oh well, my wife already left and she's making Hajj, but me, I'm going for jihad with the companions. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you have to go make Hajj with your wife. Meaning even in this circumstance, you're ready to go with the companions to make jihad, and you're already enrolled and your name has already been taken down and recorded, and your wife has already left along with the other companions and the likes like this in this great company. Even in this time, it's not allowed. Go with your wife. It's not allowed. Go with your wife. So that's specific with regards to the rites of al-hajj. Although we have seen likewise that if a woman were to make hajj without a mahram, then her hajj would be considered correct, but she's sinning. Then her hajj would be considered correct, but she's sinning. And this is something that the women, they're tried with today. So a woman who believes in Allah on the last day, she will not do that. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So we could look, you know, we could look, and possibly, no doubt, we could find those who would like to find some statements of some scholars. Even some of them, they would be reliable, have mentioned that it's allowed in this condition or that condition. Some maybe will find, oh, it's allowed if she's with a group, or she's allowed like this or allowed like that. And then others, they have mentioned that it's not allowed except with the mahram. So some who mention that it's allowed in this case, or allowed in that case, or allowed in that case, or allowed in that case. And then there's those who mention that it's not allowed except with the mahram. So the one who's truthful and they want to find that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, then they'll look into the narrations. And then what we have with regards to this is the narration that we have here. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا تحل لامرأة تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر أن تسافر مسيرة يوم وليلة إلا ومعها ذو محرم. So which one now is in accordance to any, which opinion here is in accordance? The one who said it's allowed to travel with this condition or that condition or that condition or that condition, or the one who said it's not allowed to travel except with the mahram? It's very clear, right? It's very clear that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't make any condition in this case or in that case or that case. And then if we even take into consideration that previous narration, that man whose wife is going to go make Hajj with the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, either at the leadership of the Prophet or the leadership of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, either at the leadership of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the leadership of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and the company of the companions, and he in the best company and the best days and the best time and the best generation, خَيْرٌ نَسْخَرْنِي, and the best generation is my generation and the likes like this. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't make that excuse. So the narration stands. It's not allowed for the woman who believes in Allah in the last day to travel the distance of a day and a night except with a mahram. So a woman who has the money but she doesn't have a mahram, it's not obligatory for her to make hajj. What is obligatory for her to do is to accept that. The fact that she has the money and she has the ability physically, but she doesn't have a mahram, this is called? The woman, she has the money, she has the ability, she's strong and healthy, but she doesn't have a mahram. What do we call this? It's called a test.
Oh, yeah.
It's called ibtila. This is ibtila, imtihan. It's a test from Allah Azza wa Jal. Many women, they don't pass that test. I'm going to go anyways. I'm going to get a plane ticket by myself. I don't need a man. That's what some of them, they'll say. Shaitan will deceive them and trick them. And they'll say the likes like this. I can do this, I can do that. I'm strong, I'm healthy. So on and so forth. But this is a test. Life is a test. And many times, this is how the test would occur. You know, a person, he will want something and it's not allowed. And it will be in front of him. And it will not be in front of him until he knows it's not allowed and he wants to stay away from it. Now it will be in front of him. Now it will be in front of him. Many times a person, he will not be tried with affairs until he comes to the straight path. Maybe he will repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla from a particular sin, and then that sin will be right in front of him, at hand's reach, right in front of him. It's a test though, it's a trial. Do not fall victim to the desires, to the whims. Do not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot see you, or He will not take you to account, and the likes like this, or that you're just going to perpetrate this sin one more time and then repent. La, this is a test. The fact that a woman, she's healthy, she's strong, and she has the money, but she doesn't have a mahram, this is a test. This is the same thing for, like, there's a strong man, he's healthy, and he's got lots of desires and whims, and now he's in front of a woman, a woman shows up in front of him, inviting him to her house. Beautiful woman, inviting him for dinner. What is he going to say? Ma'adallah, he's going to a'udhu billah, inni akhafu Allah, I fear Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is a test, it's the same issue, it's a test. Now, after this, the author, he says, Babu al-fidya, the chapter of the ransom, or the expiation. Al-fidya literally means a ransom, but what is intended here is a type of expiation. Inshallah, we begin this chapter in the class to come. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. جزاكم الله خيرا.